So I welcome you to services today. We want to hear what God has to say to us. We've been going through a series of sermons entitled, Jesus is the Belt of Truth. Jesus is our victory. We don't fight for victory. We fight in victory. We already have the victory through Jesus Christ. And it is so comforting. You know, I tend to be up, as they say, kind of on the worry wart side. Will all things really work out for the good? And so forth. God has called us to put our trust in Him. And I believe as we go through this series on spiritual warfare, that God is showing us that He is mighty, He is wonderful, and He has our back. Not only our back, but He has our front. He has us all around. We're surrounded by the power and the love of God. Our text is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I'm going to read right through it. I'm not going to cover all of this in weeks to come. We'll be unpacking all of this. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, I'll read. Finally, the conclusion of the whole matter. Be strong in the Lord. That's where our strength is. You know, as I get older here in another, week or two, I'll be 77 years old. And I can't just lift weights like I used to. But I don't have to worry about that. God lifts me. And we learn to trust Him as we get older. That's one of the lessons of old age. And praise God that He allows us to experience things in our lives so we'll come to honor Him and trust Him more and to realize that He is our strength. Christ is my strength. He's my all in all. My salvation, our whole salvation is based upon the strength of another. And that another is God Himself. So He says here in Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus, finally, be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves, and in His mighty power. He just doesn't give us strength. He gives us mighty strength and mighty power. He says, put on the full armor of God. It's not me suiting up in my football uniform with my helmet and going out and winning the football game. If that was the case, the team that had me would let me go because they wouldn't win very much. It is not on us. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We've got an enemy out there. He's real. And he deals with our minds and our attitudes. I was thinking the other day of how sometimes how quickly we get upset about things. Maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's on our job, and we get upset. And that is not physical warfare, that is spiritual warfare. Because the enemy wants us to get upset, begin to think about the person who offended us, and they must be after us. They're not, as they used to say, where I came from in Texas, they're not studying you. I don't know where they got the term studying you. They're not really occupying their lives and all they can think about is you. But the devil will come in and say, or one of his demons and say, you see that? You know, they don't like you. They're always picking on you. You always get a raw deal. And before we know it, we're upset about nothing. And instead of applying some of the things that I hope to preach with you and not just to you, I said with you, including myself, this message is for me because we give the enemy too much power that he does not have. Put on the full armor of God, not of your enemy, and take your stand against the devil's schemes. I'm revealing to you that the devil likes to get you upset. And not just upset about mistakes you make, but about what other people are doing. It's one of his strategies. Don't give him that ability. God has given us the ability to stand against that. All of his schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against my wife. It's not against me. It's not against my neighbor across the the way who doesn't maybe do something in his yard the way I'd like it to be. But we get all bent out of shape about it. And we have our enemy to come begin to whisper in our ear, and we say, that's right. We start amening the devil. Don't do that. No. I'm going to show you what we should do in a moment so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your neighbor. It's not your wife. Not your child. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. There's a whole realm that's way above us. And a whole lot's going on that we're not aware of it. But he tells us to take our stand and to be strong. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. It's not our armor. We don't have to wash it. We don't have to press it. We don't have to fold it. We have to get on our knees. I'll talk about that in a moment. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and we have all kinds of days and all kinds of things that happen, you may be able to stand your ground. You may be able to rejoice. And after you have done everything to stand, then you rejoice. Then you pray. We'll get into that in a moment. But I want us to understand that Jesus is our truth. He is our strength. And we stand against him. The devil is a liar. There is a liar out here. And he loves to lie and to convince us of truths that are lies. The devil is a liar. And one of the biggest lies he fosters on us, beside other people are our problem, is that you can find satisfaction, fulfillment, joy, comfort, everything you've ever wanted in things or in class. I'm way up here now. I'm president of the company. That doesn't fulfill you. The devil is a liar. John 8:44. Jesus said, you're like your father, the devil. Jesus start playing the dozens here. He's not playing. He is for real. That ye are of your father, the devil. We don't want to be like the devil. Can I get an amen on that? I didn't hear that. But anyway, I trust that you don't want to be like that. I don't. And the lust of your father you will do. We tend to want to follow the big lie. The big lie. That other people, if I was just like so-and-so, if I live in California rather than Georgia, that other people, places, and things, I can't wait. I can't wait till I move, blah, 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 blah. Here we are denying the joy and the peace that God gives us where we are because we want to be somewhere else. Therefore, when we get somewhere else, let me tell you something, you want to be somewhere else. And after a while, we're going around in circles. Unable to be fulfilled and happy. And that's why Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. We don't want to be of our father, the devil. We don't want to play his game. We want to be more than conquerors. And the lust of your father ye will do, because we think that will get us over. He was a murderer from the beginning. The way he wants to lead us is not into life, but into death. And he did not stay in the truth. If you were a liar, you're not going to have the truth. And when you see the truth, you're not going to follow it. So don't follow the lie. Because there is no truth in the devil or in what he advertises that he can give you. You know, if you just could have a marriage with this person, or if you could just cheat, you know, and have sex. You know, it's no big thing. Everybody's doing it. Hello, young folks and old folks. Can I say this, old folks? My folks in Texas used to say, ain't no fool like an old fool. In other words, we never learn. We keep making the same mistakes that we will be satisfied and fulfilled if we could do this. You know, if we could marry a younger person or an older person, or if we had this car. Oh, man, if I had that, what is it one of my grandkids wants? He said, don't put their name out on the street. They got a whole basement full of cars, a Maserati. And there are names of cars that I can't even pronounce that they have. And they have seemingly gobs of them. And they want more. And we're like that. I'm like that. You're like that. We're never satisfied, but it's always, you know, someday over the rainbow. Tomorrow I'll be happy. Tomorrow when I get this, when I have that. And it's a lie, the big lie, that other people, places, things can satisfy us. They can't. The truth is Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy. In the ministry that God has given me, if I can't get anything other than Jesus is our salvation, and that the life that Jesus offers is life in him, and that it is not in owning, it is not on having, it's in Jesus Christ. The big lie is from your father, my father. Oh Lord, I don't want to. No, not our father, the devil. That's a big lie. But the truth is through Jesus Christ. Because when the devil speaks and he whispers in our ear, it's a lie. And he speaks of his own. He's a liar and the father of lies. And he knows he can get to us by the big lie. There's always something outside of us. There's always something other than Jesus. I'm right here today to tell you that spiritual warfare, and that's what I've been talking about in the last 5 minutes here, maybe 10, that our power, though, does not come from outside of us. It comes from Jesus Christ, who lives in us. Our spiritual power comes from our relationship with Jesus. He is the only one who can satisfy. And we need to come to understand that we really, really are lusting or desiring not for things, but for Jesus. That song that we sometimes sing, we're not going to sing it right now. But I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. When we sing that, do we sing that sincerely? Or we say, well, yeah, give me the silver and gold with Jesus. I want a golden Jesus. Listen, Jesus gives us a relationship with him that's beyond any physical thing. And I want us to think about a song here in a moment. I want us to realize that the devil is a liar. That's what the scripture says. Can you say it with me? Say it out loud. The devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
I have one person that I could hear it here, and that's my beloved. And thank God gave me an angel rather than a devil. You know what I'm talking about, a wonderful person. And she can't satisfy me. You say, well, Pastor, you say that in front of your wife, she can't satisfy me. No, she can't. I can't satisfy her. No matter how many diamond rings I buy her. I've only bought her one. And that's 50 some odd years ago. Or was it 70 some odd years ago? A long, long time ago. She'd rather have Jesus than that. She's a wonderful Christian woman who Jesus is at the apex of her life. Not me. Not me. Because she knows I can't set up. And the same for her. And so we have the love of God that he gives us. And we share. That's what marriage is about, is sharing the love of God, not getting the love of the other person. Do you love me? Oh, I love you, baby. Okay, that's great, but that ain't it. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's just all he talks about is Jesus, because that's all I know. It's Jesus. He is the one who satisfies. Jesus is the real deal. You hear athletes say, man, so-and-so, man, they the truth. You know what he means by that? Whether it's football, basketball, whatever, they are the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. I want us to listen to a song. You sing along with it. It's what I've been saying. The devil is a liar. Play that song, The Devil is a Liar.
I get caught up in tried to be something I'm not, to please everyone else. I look deep in the mirror to find everything that isn't right with myself. God only knows I try. The devil is a liar, says he can give you everything that you desire, everything you want, but you be playing with the fire. So don't believe a lie, it comes at a price. Looks like you got somewhere to be, people you need to see, gotta keep up. They say image is everything, making it hard to think that you're enough. God only knows.
Amen. The devil is a liar. And if you listen to him, you have to pay the price. Brothers and sisters, I don't want any of us to pay anything to the devil. But there are consequences that God even has created that if we disobey him, and he warns us, why will you die? Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you joy and peace. I will give you everything that you think some marijuana is going to give you, or sex outside of marriage is going to give you. It won't give it to you. God has even, out of love for us, created consequences. You know, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he puts those consequences there, not because he's mean and evil. Just like your parents disciplined you, not because they were mean and evil, because they loved you. And God more so gives us consequences. The devil doesn't tell us about the consequences afterwards. Oh, this would be so much fun. Yeah, God did create certain things to be fun, even though inside marriage, not outside of marriage, it'll destroy you, your family. Even for generations, people suffer. But God calls us to repentance. God calls us to find our satisfaction and our joy in Jesus Christ. Let me show you what he has given us. He said, his word is truth. That we can find truth. And it's in his word. The dynamics of spiritual warfare, the dynamics of wearing the breastplate or the belt of truth of God is that we read his word. When you read God's word, then you experience truth. And I'm not saying, okay, I'll read a couple of scriptures and where's the truth? Sometimes you need to just stay. You just need to be. You read the scripture and just be still and know that he is God. He will speak to you. He will inspire you. He will bring things to your mind. He will give you peace. See, the devil will bring you lies. Hey, you can have sex. You can have the drugs. You can have everything you want. But he doesn't tell you that there's a payday coming. He doesn't tell you that there's suffering built in there. He didn't tell you about that. But God's word does. So we need to read the word and see the blessings of God, the goodness of God, and just be still before him and know that he is God. And let his voice speak in your heart. Then we need to pray. Pray God's word. Read God's word. Then pray his word. You know, I just read that, and Father, help me to live it, and show me what that means, and have a discussion in prayer with God. We don't pray enough. As one relative says, we need to get on our knees. You better get on your knees. You better, not it's a threat, but you better if you want a better life. Your better life and your victory over the enemy comes through reading his word. You counter lies with truth. Jesus' words are true. The devil is a liar. And then pray. Pray about what you read. And listen to the voice of God. Pray. Bring it before the throne of grace. And God will give us grace to help in our time of needs, even in our difficulties. Bring it before the Lord. Pray. And then praise. Praise. So we read the word, and we are still before the Lord to hear the word as he speaks it to us, and then pray, pray, and then praise. Praise God on your knees. Praise God. If you're more comfortable walking, as I love to walk through the woods and see his creation, and look up to the heavens, and I see the glory of God, I praise him. That's spiritual warfare, because it's taking my mind off my problems and to my solution, which is God and his word. It takes me out of my depression. And when I pray, I have hope because I know I'm putting it in the hands of God, and he's a mighty God. Then I praise. I try to say, I can't hold the tune very well at all. What is he doing in there? Is he hurting in there? No, I'm trying to sing. But I praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. And sometimes I'm in tears. Sometimes my wife will come in the room and I'm crying. Why am I crying? Because God has touched my heart. I am praising him for his goodness and for his mercy and for his love towards me. See, that's spiritual warfare. The devil can't deal with that, because the devil's program is just the opposite, and it cannot win. With Jesus, he is our belt of truth. And when we're walking in the truth and not the lies, then we have the victory. And we're not fighting for the victory. We are fighting in the victory, because we have the victory through him. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. And I ask, Father, that you take this word and that you would work it in our minds and hearts, so that we will know and experience that Jesus is the belt of truth that we have. Oh, we need you, Lord. We ever needed the Lord before, we sure enough need him now. Help us to stay in your word, to pray, to praise. I'm reminded with praise of David and how he was with Saul, and Saul would be in a spiritual warfare, literally. He was basically out of his mind and demonic. And you know what David, little David, would do to the king? He would begin to praise the Lord. He would begin to sing. He would take that harp and begin to praise God with it. And the demons had to flee. And Saul was returned to his right mind. There's power. There's resurrection power in Jesus, in truth. Why don't we turn to him and win the victory? So let us pray. Let us read the word. Oh, yes, and let us praise. When we pray, when we praise, when we pray over his word, you know, when we start praising God and reading his word and so forth, it turns our attention away from ourselves. It turns us away from the problems we're having to the promises that God is making and the promises God is fulfilling. And therefore, the enemy cannot have sway over us and control over us, because we are looking to God in praise. We're entering the praises of the Lord. You know, in heaven right now, at 24/7, Revelation tells us that there is continual praise. And when we praise God, we're simply entering into a service that is continual 24/7. And when we do that, as I said, we get our heads lifted up. We get our minds straightened up. We get our lives, even our health changes when we praise God and put our minds on Him rather than even our physical ailments. I'm not saying that's going to cure everybody. I'm not saying that's the source of all of our disease. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that it has an effect on us in many dimensions, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and in the dimension with God where we live, in the heavenly realms. Praise the Lord. Read His word. Rejoice. God is good. We're going to rejoice right now over the gift, the gracious gift of God to us, of His Son, of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And through His body and blood, He defeated the enemy and gave us the victory. So when we eat and drink, let us realize that when we eat this bread, it is in bread is the common satisfaction throughout the ages, as symbolic of I'm full. I've had a good meal. Even our money is called bread in certain quarters. Man, you got some bread? But Jesus offers us not just this physical piece of bread. And Father, I ask you to bless it as we eat it. But I ask you to bless this bread that it would fill us spiritually. That it would satisfy us with you. You've given us yourself and we receive what you are giving. And we thank you for it. And let it fill our souls. Let us rejoice in you. Thank you for this bread. Thank you for the covenant you've made with us with this bread. To give us life without end. Life that is full. Full of your presence forevermore. Bless this, Lord. And we trust you to make this so in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. That night, it says, then he took the cup, Matthew 26, verse 27. He took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many, for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, the devil likes to do it. He tempts us to sin. Then he talks about us after we have sinned. Think about that. Talks about us. Those fiery darts that keep hitting you in the head. You know what you did. You know that was wrong. You call yourself a Christian and you did this and that and the other thing. So he tempts you to sin, then puts you down because you have sinned. That's not what God offers us. He offers us eternal life. He forgives us of all of our sins when we receive him. Just as I received that bread and put it in my mouth. Because believing was receiving. When I ate of that bread, I believed it would satisfy my hunger and help teach a lesson in this communion service. That believing is receiving. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, Master, as your Savior? When you receive him, then it shows that you believe him. When you receive him as being your all in all, that you'd rather have Jesus than anything that we'll sing about in a little bit as we partake of this communion service. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Receive him that he fulfills everything that you need and want and desire. Are you dissatisfied with it? So, Father, we ask you to bless this wine as we drink it, and that we would experience a joy beyond alcohol, that we would experience a heavenly joy that is only in you, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life And by faith, we receive this gift. We believe in what you've done. We receive it. And we rejoice in it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And now, as we eat and drink, we'll have the song. And that song is entitled, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
Trust him.